Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to The Parenthood. I'm sure I'm not alone in obsessing about giving my children the very best start in life, and skills are at the heart of that. I've focused on spellings and tables and reading books to them from the word go, fostering a love of music, rugby and gymnastics. And while these, I hope, will stand them in good stead as they take on the world, there is one skill that is possibly more important than any that tends to get overlooked. We all care deeply about our children. We hate to see them hurt, lose, fail. It breaks our hearts often more than it does theirs. But in being so protective, are we actually doing our children a favour, or are we preventing them from building resilience? So with me today, I've got Michelle Robinson, a former Olympic athlete who is now a mother of three, motivational speaker and passionate advocate of resilience. Welcome to The Parenthood, Michelle.
Hi. Hi, Marina. Really glad to be here. It's really nice to be here.
I got to say, I didn't think about resilience that much when my children are little. And, you know, as they're a bit older, you know, do you think our sort of helicopter parenting, our the idea that we don't want our children to be hurt and the fact that we can control it, you know, as the world gets easier to live in, as, you know, more people live in the first world in an environment where we have access to good healthcare and, you know, roads are safer and towns are safer, are we creating an epidemic of children who are growing up without having experienced any hardship and therefore don't have the resilience that we kind of need to take us through life?
I think one of the points you've made there, I mean, several points, but one of the main points that just stuck out to me was the helicopter parenting. Mm. And I'm going to be honest, I've been there. You know, my eldest daughter's 15 and my husband's always said at all times, you just don't want her to fail. I'm like, of course I don't. He said, but how will she learn? How will she build up the resilience that she needs in today's world?
Yeah.
So I think we all jump in, you know, at the drop of a hat to, she's forgotten her clarinet, she's got clarinet lessons. And, I did it last year. I drove down a hill like a maniac. She can't miss that clarinet lesson. What will people think of her? What will people think of that she's missed a lesson? Actually, it's okay that she missed a lesson. It's not going to affect her grade. It didn't affect her grade. But the fact that I didn't want Reese to, you know, to miss a lesson and it to go down as a marker against her name, I jumped in, that helicopter parenting. And I think we're all guilty of that. But absolutely, we do need to start allowing them to just be, and if there's failures along the way, then so be it.
Because there's, you know, there's a generation of children or kind of, you know, people in their early 20s who are sort of referred to, a bit mean, I get it, that, you know, the special snowflakes, you know, these children that go into the workplace and they're like, you can't criticize me, yeah, or I couldn't possibly do, yeah, that. And, you know, there is a certain amount of grit and determination that is really impossible in life. And do you think those children are a product of an overprotective cohort of parents who didn't let them fail?
Absolutely. I think a lot of the parents before, because they didn't want their kids to fail, maybe through their own failings, they're like, no, I've built this up. I've given them enough. I don't want to see my children fail. So actually when they go into the workplace and they get told to do something or you're late or chastised or criticised, the child's thinking, well, what do you mean? That's not that bad, because they're not used to it. Mm. Whereas we've been used to saying, actually, you're late. If you're late again, you're not coming back in. Mm. Because we've always been there to protect them, mm, and prevented them actually crashing down.
Mm. And listen, if I miss a flight, I've missed the flight.
You missed a flight. Why should it wait for you?
How many times I cry or snap my foot, and the airplane's not going to come back.
And this is what I say all the time, and I'm saying it. I've got slightly older children than yourself, but I say it all the time. You're 15 years old. Don't ask me where your Under Armour is. I'm not interested. You should know where that is. But I need it for my match. And you get the stomping, the crying. You can see the frustration. And actually, my heart's racing. I'm thinking, come on, think. I don't want her to go out without it. I don't want her to be cold. But actually, she needs to feel that cold so she can organise herself for the next game.
Yeah,
I've had to be resilient. Being an Olympic athlete, you have to hit rock bottom. And you know what? If we don't learn to bounce, and if we don't teach those kids to bounce, that's when all these things creep up. And I hate to say it, mental health issues creep in.
And, you know, thinking a little bit about what is resilience, you know, this isn't us being mean to our children. This isn't us not caring for them or, you know, willing them to actually hurt themselves. Mm. What is resilience?
Resilience is the ability to bounce back from failure, to hit the ground, feel, you know, really low, to cry, you know, to get the lowest mark in the class. And to come back the next term and say, you know what, I've learned from that and I'm going to put this into practice. Resilience will be me going to the Commonwealth Games and coming last and saying, you know what, I've got the world champs next year. I'm going to make sure that feeling that I felt at the Commonwealth Games, I never feel that feeling again. And bearing in mind, sometimes you still might repeat the same cycle again and come last, but it's not without not trying.
And that makes so much sense. You know, you look at sports days with young children and they all get a medal.
Yes.
And on the one hand, that's really nice. They go home happy. But has it taught them anything? It
hasn't taught them anything. And I disagree with that. So sorry for all those listeners out there. I'm not being a really hard parent. I don't believe everybody's a winner. Yet again, we're protecting them again from the real world.
It also makes winning less
fun. Important and less, you know, that want, that desire. So this first, second, third, not everybody's a winner. Everybody's a participant. I get that. But not everybody's a winner because you have to draw the line. Mm. It's a very competitive world out there. Yes, it's a better environment out there and there's more opportunities and everything for young people and people. But it's still a very tough win and lose world out there.
Well, and also it's got to be tough if they suddenly, you know, until they're 16, they're in this world where everyone's a winner and everyone is praised. Mm. And then suddenly they're launched into the real world in which there isn't.
There isn't. And then they go into the workplace and they think, well, actually, you know, there's four jobs and available and there's 200 people applying and I didn't make the cut. Well, actually, that's life because not everybody is a winner. Mm. So I think the more as parents we foster that idea to our children, it's okay to take part and it's great. And we must remember to praise them because I think that's something that possibly I didn't have in my life. I didn't have that constant, you're great, you're great, you're great. It's okay to tell them that they're great because they're yours, but it doesn't mean they're the greatest.
Mm. And what does a resilient kid look like?
Draw the picture in your own mind, I think.
I mean, like, it's not, they're not necessarily going to have like bruises all over them because they've taken all these risks. And actually, it's about, you know, taking measured risks, isn't
measured,
it?
We've got to take measured risks. And it, you know, the risks have to be, I think we're always, oh, don't do that. I can honestly say, I've got Matthew, who's my husband, on my shoulder saying to me, it's okay for them to fall. I'm like, Elijah, get down from there, get down. You're going to fall. Why is he going to fall? Why are you saying he's going to fall? Because that irrational emotion steps in and you start getting panicked by it all. Actually, he's probably not going to fall. And if he falls, someone's not going to fall and break his neck. He's just going to fall and scrape his knees.
Absolutely.
So what does a resilient child look like? I don't know. I guess it's one with all the bumps, the bruises, the ability to bounce back, the ability to say, actually, Mum, I didn't do as great then, but I'll be back tomorrow for another day.
And they're brave, I guess, in a way that's not necessarily jumping from the highest, but brave in terms of volunteering, you know,
for
the school play or auditioning for the music competition.
Absolutely.
Because that is, for me, one of the scariest things in life. Sticking your neck out and going, people might not like me. A bit like doing this podcast.
Absolutely.
People might have thought, who is she?
Absolutely.
She's got no training.
Absolutely.
And it's scary. That's way scarier than launching yourself off a bungee rope.
Absolutely. Especially we're actually on the bungee joke, when you're talking about a bungee. You know, that makes me frightened. I can't even say the word because it makes me frightened. But going up in front of 2,000 people and sharing my story doesn't scare me. So when I say to my daughter, go in there and audition for something, if that's what you want to do, she's like, yeah, I can do this. But it's for us to say, go on, give it a try. Mm. You might not actually get selected, though. But just bear that in mind. Whereas my husband says, don't even tell her she might not get selected. Just let her go and do it. And the key words to say to her at the end is, go and enjoy yourself.
Yeah. And I guess there's also the idea that these children are kind of happy to push themselves out of their comfort zone. And that is scary. And we do find ourselves saying to kids, do you want to do the soft play area? If you don't want to, it's fine. Come back for a hug with mummy. But actually, it's so much more rewarding doing something you're a bit nervous about.
Absolutely.
The adrenaline and the joy and the pleasure that you get from having done something you didn't think you were going to like or maybe weren't going to be able to do or was going to potentially a little bit scary.
And when you do it, amazing. You feel amazing. And I've often asked, you know, my children, how did you feel when you did that? I'm really glad I did it. I said, but beforehand, Mum, I could have dropped out at any point. And I think we've got to act as a role models for that ourselves as well. This stuff I've done, and I think, even like now in my 40s, I think, I would never have gone surfing. I would never have tried surfing. And when I finished that surfing, I felt like I had an Olympic gold medal around my neck. And that's in anything. First time people have said to me, walking into a room sometimes can be really nerve-wracking for some people that are a little bit less confident. And I'm like, why? But that's for me. But for them, that's coming out completely out of their comfort zone. I think the more and more we push our children, and I do mean literally push, go and try something new. It's okay not to always win.
Mm.
But I think we've got to try and encourage them as much as we can to try different things, because that's the real world. Food. Yeah. Trying different foods. Mm. You know, I had this conversation with a friend of mine last night. She'd been invited out to a restaurant, and it's, you know, it's going to be a vegan, vegetarian restaurant. Her kids are real meat eaters. And she's like, but they won't like it. I said, how do you know they won't like it? They've never done it before. I said, but exactly. But they might be, there's going to be something on the menu they like.
Yeah,
but it's just not the norm. It's not the norm. Mm. But because you don't like it, means that you're putting that on them.
Yeah.
Well, actually, they might turn around and say, Mum, that was really tasty. Try it.
Children, I think all of us parents agree, they're born kind of with different personalities.
100%.
You definitely see those traits as they grow up. And there's that sort of nature versus nurture debate. You know, some children are just born really good at a certain thing, at maths or literacy or singing, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Is resilience something that we can build, or is it something that is predetermined?
I think some kids are built with resilience in them.
Yeah.
I can say that my eldest daughter's built with that. But I think we can foster it and we can develop that for sure.
Mm.
And I think the more and more life experiences that they go through, they can almost add on to it and learn from that and say, right, actually, no, I managed to come through that. I can do it again. Us moving to a completely different area from Kent to Devon needed resilience from all of us.
Mm.
I was scared. It was a great opportunity for us. But still inside, I'm thinking, suppose it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
But because I went in there with a positive attitude of, so what if it doesn't work out? We've tried and we're together as a family. And I honestly believe that. So my children felt that. And they've gone in there and actually, guys, they've kicked butt.
Mm.
They've gone, they've made their names, they're enjoying school, they're smiling every day, they're getting involved every day. What more could you want? And that's from being somewhere placed for 9 years and then all of a sudden turn up, hey, I'm the new kid trying to make new friends at 15. Kind of awkward, but she's done it.
Mm. I was reading it was quite a complicated study about, you know, looking at how the brain is actually sort of wired and the different parts of the brain that grow when you are resilient.
Mm-hmm.
And they did say that, you know, the more you exercise that, it is like a muscle.
Mm-hmm.
The
Absolutely.
More you exercise that part of the brain, the more powerful it will grow.
Mm-hmm.
So actually, the more, the more difficulty that you expose your child to, the more resilient they will get. So there is absolutely no doubt that
mm-hmm.
resilient can be built in any child.
Yeah, can be.
It's fascinating, absolutely fascinating.
And kids bounce as well, don't they? Kids really bounce.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So the million-dollar question, How do we build a resilient child?
Letting them fail a lot more.
Yeah.
Stop being a helicopter parent. Stop jumping in. Yeah. Stop, let them miss that clarinet lesson when they've forgotten their clarinet at home. Let them forget their football boots. Let them get the bollocking or the rollicking that they get from school. Yeah. Let them do the detention. Actually say, that's you were in charge of that, and that's the decision you made.
Yeah.
Tough love. Tough love. And it's hard, Marie. You know, I can't sit here and say I do it all the time because I'll be being a hypocrite. But I'm more and more I'm seeing, if we don't allow them to fail, we're going to make bigger issues for ourselves.
Yeah.
Allow them, build the resilient child by failure, accepting failure.
As part of, I mean, none of us life. Go through life. I mean, even the most successful people, reading, you know, Michelle Obama's autobiography and talking, you know, she was describing her husband's early career and she was like, yeah, there was sometimes he made the wrong decision. And here's Absolutely. Someone that is so admired and so yeah. well respected and has been so successful. Yeah. And even they have had failures.
Absolutely, because everybody has failures. Mm. Oprah Winfrey, who's my idol. Oprah Winfrey, when you listen to her journey, I mean, that's what you call resilient. If you want to look at somebody with resilience, she has that in abundance. Mm. But she's had to always go back to what made her who she is today. And it was from the hardship, the hard times that we're almost preventing all the time for our children.
I remember, I think my son was in year one and I went and picked him up from school and they just started getting spelling tests. And I remember holding his hand, we were crossing the road and I was like, so how did the spelling test go? And he said, yeah, I got 9 out of 10. I was like, oh, which one did you get wrong? And what do they do if you get the spellings wrong? And he went, well, that's a marvelous mistake. And I was like, what? And he goes, Mummy, mistakes are really important to make. If you can't make mistakes, then you're never going to learn. If you
Love
are afraid to make mistakes, then you're never going to learn. And I remember so well looking at my five-year-old then going, oh, he's got a point.
A huge point. A huge point. And that same reference talking about education. 2 years ago, my daughter's in year five and she had lots of, English wasn't her best subject. She's always been a mathematician. And she used to write along, write, and scrub out all the time. And the English teacher said to me, she's got some fantastic ideas, but as soon as she feels she's doing something wrong, she scrubs it out and puts lines through it. And all I can see is scrubbing out all on her pages. And I'm like, she's like, do you think that's anything to do with you and your husband and your expectations of her? And I went, maybe. Because my eldest daughter's brilliant at English. And I said, possibly, yeah, something I'd have to look into. So I said, Eden, I've just got to say this to you, baby. It's okay to make mistakes. Just write. And it's almost like as if you could see her shoulders drop down. And it's like I gave her the key to say, it's okay to make mistakes. She's flown ever since.
Amazing.
And it's that same thing of sometimes they can bring to you, just because they're little, they can sometimes, like your son said, it's okay, that marvellous mistake. Because if you don't make mistakes, how do you know?
Yeah.
And how do you know what failure feels like?
Well, and also, how do you learn? Like, whenever I make a mistake, I say, well, okay, I can either feel rubbish about it and yeah. sad that I made the mistake.
Yeah.
Or I can think, what can I do to ensure that that doesn't happen again?
The next
What
time.
Can I, you know, I remember so well the first time I missed a flight and I was like, oh my God, I need to buy a whole new plane ticket. My holiday is going to be a day shorter or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, you know what? I'm going to become a bit more organized and I will always leave a bit more time before Amen. I, you know, and that stops you. That actually was a really important learning curve.
Because otherwise you'd have carried on making it.
Totally. Until it would have been potentially something much worse.
Much more, exactly.
So I think, you know, I always say that to my kids, much better that you make the mistake early on yeah. and you learn from it.
Learn from it, you know, and I think like with school reports and stuff for this first term coming out and kids have to learn and think, well, actually, what could I do better for next time?
Yeah.
Let's not make it such a big deal. It's not up to scratch. It might not be 100%. Did you do your best? I think the key words are did you do your best? If not, why not? How can you improve for the next time? It's okay not to come first.
Yeah.
But because it is actually okay.
Yeah. Well, not everyone comes first.
Exactly.
The whole time. When I was researching this, one of the really interesting things that scientists said kind of built resilience was a strong emotional connection to the parents. And this is something that, you know, whenever I've been quite tough on my kids, I feel like I'm being a bit cruel and maybe not being that sort of warm, loving parent. But interestingly, the kind of studies say that, you know, the knowledge that they have unconditional support from a parent makes it easier for them to fail, yeah. makes it easier to acknowledge that they're struggling, yeah. that they're angry, that, and all these things are obviously so important yeah. in the context of sort of, you know, acknowledging our vulnerability is, yeah. is so important yeah. when sort of building resilience. And so one of the things they were saying, you know, which is difficult in the 21st century, put down your phone and engage with your kid. And so I think it's something we all struggle with.
I mean, it's so true. You know,
we carry around these things that are called phones, but they're not phones. They're supercomputers.
Supercomputers. I like that. I'll
with
share that
endless
with my daughter.
Sort of notifications. They are so demanding of yeah. our attention.
Yeah.
And actually being able to sort of engage with them and have a conversation about, you know, how they're feeling and what their emotions are yeah. is so important.
I think we need to, that's something that, you know, we can all learn from in terms of, you know, let's put our stuff down, let's hear about, and I know it's idealistic and everything else, but sometimes we do have to strip it down to idealistic, right, guys? So every morning we pray as a family, and we pray for a great day. We pray to help others. We pray to be kind. Mm-hmm. And that's something that my 15-year-old daughter suggested in October. I said, Mum, why don't we pray every day? And we've stuck with it. Apart from, I've been in London for 2 nights, so clearly we haven't prayed then. They might pray together without me. But the important thing, I think, going back to the question you said, was for us as adults to recognise that our children, and they have got different emotions on different days. Two girls, hormonal. They need that reassurance. I put my phone down, how was your day? And I've got to be honest, Marina, sometimes I'm thinking, I really need to go and check an email. But I've got to give them the time that they deserve, because that time's gone and that moment might be gone for them. So I agree with the fact of really homing in on your children's emotions and letting them express themselves. And I'm not sure if I had that. And I'm not knocking my parents. My mum is my best friend. She still is my best friend. I have that more now. But as a child growing up, I never had that. It was, how was your day? Yeah, fine. And bear in mind, there was no computers or anything back then. It was just, there was the next best thing. They're trying to go back to work, going back to ward shift. You know, I never had that. So it's actually very important for me to have that with my children. How was your day? Tell me 3 positive things about today. And I keep
all
that.
All negative. Oh, you know,
and I
to
do
have
say positive.
That safe
yes.
space that
safe
you
space
can
that you're going to be
say,
catch them. Safety blanket.
You can be a brat or yeah. you can be yeah. a mean, you know, you can acknowledge that something someone did made you really angry. And that was really irrational because yeah. you shouldn't have been angry, but you were.
But you were.
And you know, I think we're under a lot of pressure, especially in
Perfect.
The 21st century with social media. We're nailing it all the time.
Yeah.
And just to have a safe space to be like, oh, today wasn't a great day,
it wasn't a great
or
day.
I did something that was really shameful.
Yeah.
And talk about it
yeah.
and learn through talking
through
about
talking.
It that
yeah.
you can bounce back.
Yeah, and I think that in itself is, you know, for us to turn around. And, you know, to say to our children, do you think you should have handled that like that? Open discussion. So, I mean, obviously, I use a lot of my coaching techniques of, do you think you should have managed it like that? Would there have been a better way that you could have dealt with that?
Mm.
In order for them to start almost rethinking and reevaluating how they manage and cope with situations. I think that's probably one of the biggest things I'm doing right now with my two daughters is asking them open questions about how they're feeling. Are you feeling like that? I'll give a great example. There was a school party, 15-year-olds going to a school party. My daughter chose not to go to the party. She said, I didn't want to go, but she'd organised with a friend. A friend said, I'm not going to go either. Whilst they're at the party, I'll have a sleepover. At the last hour, her friend dropped her and said, no, I'm going to go to the party. She was devastated. And me and my husband, Matt, said, it's okay to feel that way. She said, yep, I would never do it to anybody. She was crying. She felt angry. I said, that's also okay. Because we've got to stop squashing and quashing their emotions and make them into little perfect robots. They're not. Mm. Life sometimes is like that, where you want to cry and you feel upset. But what we said is, how would you manage that situation differently next time?
And that is very, you know, that's another point. You know, it's not about flying in and fixing it for them. It's not about calling up the mother of the other girl going, that was wrong. That was not okay. And this is what you should say to your friend. Getting her to problem solve herself.
Absolutely.
Not coming in and sorting
Absolutely.
It out. But, you know, and helping her by all means saying, well, did you feel like this? Do you think you should do that? But putting the ball in her court
Coaching.
So that she can come up with the solutions herself. And you're giving her then the confidence that she can come up with the solutions herself.
Marina, I'm telling you, it's the biggest thing since I've been coaching and really coached for the last 5 years is asking the questions. You know, I do a lot of stuff with young people, 16 to 25 year olds. And I ask them the questions, how would it look if you tried this? And that same way I've adapted that to my children. How would it look? How about if you ask this question to the young lady? Not telling her, because as soon as you start telling her, you're then starting to be her. And she's just mirroring what you're saying. So the fact that they can then start taking ownership, and I use the word ownership passionately, about what they want to achieve. And actually, sometimes it will be the girl hurting your feelings, saying, actually, I'm going to blow you out this weekend. But how many times have we been blown out, Marina?
Yeah, and you forgive, and you get forgive, annoyed, and you get, go for a run, or you have a scream, or you have a drink, or
whatever it might be. But actually, forget about it. Put it in the box. There's a next time.
We talked about, you know, resilient children being unafraid to take sort of healthy risks. Mm-hmm. How do we encourage children to take those kind of risks? Because, you know, none of us want the recklessness of a child.
Hello, no.
No one wants the one that is stealing a car and joyriding and doing those kind of risks. Yeah. But risk is important. I mean, my husband climbed Everest earlier this year, and we had a big conversation around risk and when it is good. Right. And, you know, actually that risking things in your life and putting, mm-hmm. you know, on the edge, it mm-hmm. leads you to grow in a way that mm-hmm. nothing else will mm-hmm. really enable
Absolutely.
You to do. So how do we do that? I mean, I'm not advocating climbing Everest necessarily.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to push my kids to be doing that, or myself actually. I think I'll pass on that. I'll leave that one to Ben. That's great. I would suggest that the risk might be, for example, just give a loose example here. Reese going to her first ever party. She hasn't been to a party. Now, I don't know what image she has of this party, whether it's drugs, drinks, afraid of being involved, afraid to be vulnerable. But we've said to her, go and try it. But what we've done is, I think when you're trying to encourage healthy risks, know that you're there to support and catch them. So at any point at all, you feel uncomfortable at this party and you feel, actually, I've given it a good enough time. I want to go home. Call me. Send a text code. So we've got a special code, which is not necessarily pick me up. I'm feeling like, you know, it could be like Kentucky Fried Chicken,
yeah,
fish and chips, whatever it might be, so that she can go, because we want her to go. She needs to go. She needs to go to a party where it's actually out of her comfort zone, where she's seeing her friends in a different light because they might have had a beer or a bottle of wine, whatever it might be. But she needs to go so she can know how to cope with situations when she's 21.
Yeah. And you're right. I remember so well, my daughter used to be terrified of standing on stage and performing. I mean, literally, she was pulling her hair over her face. Oh. She hated it. And when she started her new school, they gave her a singing solo. She was one of the angels.
Can she sing?
Thinking, she's quite a good singer.
Oh, that's good.
She was only five, so it's not like... Anyway, I remember thinking, it's just not going to happen. I could tell she was getting a bit nervous. Anyway, she stood up on stage and she started singing.
Oh.
And she did it. And she did it amazingly. Oh. And I remember her coming up to me afterwards and she went, Mummy, I'm so happy. I want to cry.
Oh my gosh.
That, you know, for her was a real tipping point. Yep. It enabled her to have confidence in herself.
Yep.
It pushed her out of the comfort zone and it told her,
You are a good singer.
People
Absolutely.
Do like listening to you.
Yep.
People love you, make people laugh. And it turned her around in terms of a person. But had she not been really encouraged by her teacher, who was, I remember she'd done a sort of poetry thing the weeks before, and she literally couldn't talk.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had her in my arms, and her teacher, her reception teacher was like, well, actually, I don't think that was good enough. I think she was selected for the poetry competition. She should have, I'm disappointed that she didn't stand up there.
Wow.
And she was only four.
Wow.
And I remember thinking, God, that is quite harsh, but it had an impact on Iona. And so when it went for her nativity play, she did it. And that was exactly the attitude
she needed. But some children won't respond to that like that, Marina.
Mm.
Yeah, so maybe, yes, your daughter did, but I would suggest that there's got to be a handful of kids that would have gone the other way.
But isn't it interesting that I would have wanted to have said, it's okay, you don't do the
course.
But if she'd have been selected and she'd sort of said, I'm up for it, and then not to even try.
It would have been worse,
actually,
I guess.
I think it was a really good thing, but it wasn't my instinct.
Exactly. And I think as a parent, it's not our instinct because we've got that woolly blanket around them, fluffiness. And there is a balance in my house because my husband is like, go on, try it. You'll be fine. Absolutely fine. Come on, off you go.
Because I think we very often rush too quickly to their rescue. And it starts with the climbing frames.
It does. Marina, that's me.
And, you know, I spent all my money. Can you come pick me up?
Yeah.
You know what? Walk home.
Exactly.
Actually,
hello. I mean, there is an element of that. Again, and I keep using, and listeners, please forgive me, I really do use the clarinet story. Mm. Because the reason why I rushed the clarinet down there at speed limits, breaking all speed limits, because for one, I didn't want her to miss the 30-something pound lesson that I'm paying for. So the second time when it happened, I took it out of her piggy bank. I said, you're not going to the clarinet lesson. I'm not driving it down there. In fact, I was out of town anyway. I said, but when you get in, leave that money from your piggy bank on the table because you're going to pay for that lesson that you missed. Because I think there's got to be a learning there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I was actually talking to one of the parents at my children's school the other day, and you know, kids are 8 now.
Yeah.
And she said, all the mothers are saying, God, our kids always lose school uniform. The school needs to be on it, you know. And this woman was like, come on, it's our kids' responsibility. She said, what I do, if they lose their school uniform, they have to pay for a proportion of the replacement. And
Amen.
She said, you know what, since we've been doing that, none of it's got lost.
Absolutely. So I'm saying the same thing. We go thrift shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not buying it back new. You go thrift shop. If you lose it, you're going without it. I had a really, a dear friend of mine just saying the other day her son was going to do something at a new school, forgot his football boots. So my first reaction was, do you know what? He would have had to go in his trainers because I'm not stopping to buy him those football boots. Because actually buying in those football boots, where's the learning in that?
Mm, absolutely.
There's no learning in that. Yeah. Actually, if I'm about to fail, my mum's going to catch me. So does that then breed resilience in a child? It doesn't. Mm.
And that's the thing, you know, I speak for my kids. They are incredibly lucky in that, you know, they've got a roof over their head. They've never had to, you know, go hungry ever in their lives.
Yeah.
And is that not necessarily a good thing? Is a bit of tough parenting.
Tough parenting, tough love. Don't, my husband would be on here and he'd be nodding saying, Marina, I agree with you. You know, when I come in and I've cooked an amazing meal, I love cooking. And they go, is that it? But let's not get onto that.
Yeah. One thing that I found quite interesting was just the importance of your kids knowing that you believe in them.
Yeah.
And actually, when I look back to my own experience, if people had confidence in me and someone said, of course I know you can do that, you know, that makes you believe in yourself. And
Absolutely.
Confidence is a big thing.
It's because huge.
Some children are born with confidence and some children aren't. And some people lose their confidence.
Yeah.
But if someone else believes in you, and it doesn't need to be a big, you know, loud and overt, it just needs to be, of course you can do
you
it.
Can
I
do
know
that.
I know you're really good at resolving that.
Yes.
I know that if you fall off the climbing frame, I know that you're brave.
You're fine.
And I think that actually it makes so much sense when I
it really does when you know that you've got somebody there that's got your back and really gives you that encouragement. That's me and my French teacher, 14 years old, acting a bit of a clown, and she said, "Shall I tell you something now?" And now it'd be completely politically incorrect. She said, she called me out of the class. I was 14 years old. I was in a mixed school in Wembley. And she said to me, all those other white kids are laughing at you, not with you. You are very good at French. Go in there and be the best. And then I went on from that conversation, year 9. I'll never forget it. Her name was Mrs. Heaven, if you're listening. I'll never forget it. Marina, that was the turning point for me. I had to be told I was acting a fool. And I made that conscious decision. Actually, she's right. I am good enough. I am good like Gabrielle Cohen in my class. I'm as good as her. And then I ended up getting the A in my GCSE and then going on to further my career with languages in my A levels and my degree because she gave me that, you're good enough.
Yeah. Yeah. In terms of sort of developing skills, I was reading, you know, kind of actually how ball games are really important because, you know, they teach you so many skills like, you know, impulsivity control, waiting your turn, being strategic, problem solving, you know, taking risks that aren't going to bankrupt you, you know,
Monopoly,
for example.
Monopoly.
You know, all of these are sort of really important sort of life skills. And actually, I mean, we're recording this sort of in the run up to Christmas.
Yeah.
And I've sort of got a few board games. My kids just love board games. But I love the idea that you're right. You know, they teach life skills before life demands them of you.
Yeah. And I think that's something that, you know, slightly going off piste here, but life skills is part of it. The resilience is a life skill that is needed and that we have to foster. We know that's the case. But little life skills that you learn from a game, like waiting your turn, it's not your turn yet. So I think you're right in terms of the board games. And you might lose. So my son hates losing. He's 5. He hates losing. But that's okay. But he wants to storm off the table. I'm not playing because I'm not winning. His dad says, get back on that table. You're not leaving till the game is finished. Yeah. Even that, you can't just drop out when you feel like you can. It's a life skill, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's a life skill that we all got. Oh, I didn't like work today. Mm. Okay, so what happened? I'm not going back in. Did you give it long enough time to realise that you liked it?
And were you gracious in defeat?
Okay, and that's it. Were you gracious in defeat? So if at the end of the game, that's fine. So quick story here. I'm just had my daughter's 10 days old. My son's 10 days old. My eldest daughter's getting ready for a ballet exam. She can't get the ballet steps. I've had a cesarean section. I'm breastfeeding. I've got the computer on the side. And she's saying, I can't do this ballet. I'm not doing this exam. I'm really not doing this exam because I don't want to fail. I don't want to fail. And Miss Clark's really mean because she expects everybody to get these steps and she doesn't recognise that. I missed last Tuesday because it's my birthday. Then I missed the Tuesday after because you had the baby. She doesn't recognise that. I'm giving up. This whole tantrum. I say, stop there. Can we find this dance move on YouTube? Yes, we can. Marina, I sat there for 90 minutes going backwards. No, okay, go back again, baby. Go back again. Go back again. I said, because you're not giving up this exam. You can give up ballet after the exam, but you're not giving up before the exam. Now, the easy parenting way out would have been, oh, don't worry about it. It's only ballet. You're hardly going to be a ballerina. Yeah, you're hardly Swan Lake.
Yeah.
But I said, no. And the reason why I said no is if I allowed her that easy exit route out of there, that's something that she would continue for the rest of her days.
And she'd be the one that suffers the most from it.
And she's been the one that suffers because actually it's not the ballet, like we said, it's the learning, the skill,
yeah,
the skill behind it. She went on and got the distinction. She's still doing ballet today.
Great.
And the Elijah's five. So that was 5 years ago because the learning was you can give up afterwards, but you're not giving up because the going gets tough.
One, you talked earlier about kind of praying as a family, yeah, and, you know, whether or not you're religious. I yeah think a form of sort of reflection and mindfulness we know is really good for our brains. We also absolutely know it's important for children. And I think, you know, it doesn't mean you need to be meditating. Mm. It doesn't mean you need to be downloading an app, although you can, and there are some yeah that are appropriate for children. But even just the idea of allowing them to be bored. I mean, we were talking earlier about how the fact I don't really have any stimulation in the car. And so when we're going on a long drive, I remember doing this, just sitting and looking out the window and letting my thoughts wander. Yeah. That is mindfulness.
Yeah, it
going
is
for a walk and not listening to something. Yeah. Or just taking lying in on your bed and looking out the window, even if it's for 5 minutes or 10
absolutely
minutes.
Absolutely. Still.
Because I think especially in this world where we are hyperstimulated,
yes,
you know, we're sitting, I find myself like sitting, waiting for the tube and immediately my phone comes out yeah and I'm scrolling down and looking
absolutely
at Instagram and
absolutely
the emails.
Absolutely.
Like, can we no longer have 2 minutes just to reflect, even at sort of traffic lights, to sort of look and, you know, see how the clouds are forming?
Yeah.
And that is actually physiologically very important for our brains in terms
switching
of
off.
Yeah. And
switching
sort of
off.
Processing,
peace, processing,
all this
evaluation
that is fired at us yeah on a, you know, minute by minute basis.
And sometimes we struggle with it all, you know, we need downtime. Mm. And we talk about downtime. I do love that one of the car thing. In the car we play I Went to Market, which is not just staying still, but it's to avoid the gadgets coming out, the phones coming out. And my husband's really strict on it. No, guys, no, it's okay. You don't need your phones. Oh, I'm bored. It's okay to be bored. So I think exactly what you said there. It's okay to be bored. Find yourself and center yourself. Think of something else. Mm. Lose yourself in something. Look outside. Look at the cars.
Or even listen to music.
Yeah. I mean, we love music. I mean, our house with music. I mean, we are Sunday mornings. We've got the West Indian food cooking and we're pumping and we're dancing around. And that's the time where we feel free. I mean, they must think we're the bonkers Robinson family.
And exercise is another really good thing for our brains.
Oh, gosh.
And possibly something that we don't push our kids enough. And actually the kind of idea of sport, you know, that's a great sort of teaching method, you know, pushing ourselves outside their comfort zone.
Absolutely.
You know, that pain.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
can't
I don't
just
want
give
to
up
continue my run.
Yeah.
You know, and the idea that you notice progress actually really well. You know, for some children, French is difficult to learn and you know, really don't feel. But, you know, you start them running and each day it gets a bit better.
Absolutely.
And then
monitor.
That is a wonderful experience. And we know that it's got great physiological and mental benefits.
It's one of the key things. I mean, you're talking to, you know, two people that are mad into sport. You know, me and Matthew have got the the fitness gene running through our bones. And fortunately, so have the kids. So we like the outdoor. We like the sporty life. We like playing a ball game. We like playing rounders, cricket in our garden outside. We like being active. That is what the Robinson family, I mean, I've even got a little acronym on there, Fit Family Robinson, because we love it. And we like it because as well, Matthew doesn't want our kids sitting on watching TV. So Monday to Thursday, we have a no TV. It's just no TV in the house. So my little son says to me, is it Friday yet? Can I watch TV now? And Fireman Sam comes on. And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. But tomorrow, no, but it's not Monday to Thursday, Mummy. And we've instilled that from now because there's so many things you can do. So I've got him colouring now. So after he does his homework, he's colouring at the table because it's so easy for him to run to that iPad where you see him turn into a monster driving this driving game. Elijah, you don't need the iPad. But his exact words are, Reese is on her phone. Eden's on her phone. I need something. Environment is key. Mm.
And actually, you know, going back to the sort of mindfulness, because your colouring is mindfulness. My kids have just started sewing, doing embroidery, and we do it together. And it's so nice because we can actually have a conversation, but we're focusing on something. And we often have the most amazing conversations. You know, stuff comes out that if I was looking at them intensely, they wouldn't be like, oh, Mummy, I'm struggling with this. Whereas we can have a much better conversation if we're sort of, the focus isn't on the conversation.
Absolutely. It's a bit more fluid, isn't it?
Yeah.
And less stressful.
Yeah.
So you do probably hear a lot more about what's going on.
I remember I was at the airport in the summer in Canada and my son picked up this embroidery. He's like, I'd like to buy this with my pocket money. I was like, really? Come on, and you're not going to enjoy it. And he was really insistent. And eventually I was like, okay, fine, have the embroidery. It was so good that I bought some because I was like, actually, I want to do it.
I love it. And that's great mindfulness. And actually, you know what? Why shouldn't he? I love that, Marina.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really good.
We talk a lot on this podcast about the importance of modelling behaviour, about how the behaviour that we show will basically be the behaviour that our kids. And I was talking to a psychotherapist about grief, and she said it's so important for you to model good grieving because that's how your children will learn to cry, will learn to express their emotions. And I think the same applies to resilience.
Absolutely.
If you are resilient yourself, if you are prepared to stick your neck above the parapet and to take a risk and to embrace mistakes and failure and learn from it, then your children are going to learn how to do that.
150%. We have to start learning to think all the time we're doing stuff. Think of the impact it can have on our children. And, you know, and I won't go into it into further details now from parts of my childhood that was learnt behaviour. So I'm very mindful of how we behave, myself and my husband, and how what they can pick up on and start modelling that behaviour. So resilience for us, we should say it all the time. My husband applied for several jobs before we got the job now. And he was explaining to my daughters, and one of my daughters said, but Daddy, why don't we just stay where we are? It doesn't look like you're getting through. And Daddy said, because actually, if Grandma and Granddad and your great-grandma and great-granddad stayed still, you guys wouldn't be here. Mm. And I was like, you know what? That's so powerful. He's right. We have to keep moving forward. We have to keep pressing on. And when he was getting the no, getting down to the last two, the easy thing to do would have said, okay, maybe it's not my time. But he carried on and he persevered. Mm. And they know, like we say to them all the time, carry on. Come on, baby. Keep persevering. Don't stop.
And it doesn't mean it has to be dogged pursuit of the same thing. You can change what you're pursuing.
You can change,
a slightly different job. You can reflect on that failure and think, oh, well, maybe those aren't my skills. Maybe I need to tweak it a little bit.
Absolutely.
Because there's that fine line between I will do it. And
actually, you're not good enough. And you're not. Exactly. And this is what I said. I know for me, I was never going to be somebody that studied maths. Maths was my nemesis. But I do know if you put me in front of something else that I can build on, like cooking, I enjoy it. I can build on it. And each time I build on it, I feel great about it. So you can even use that as an example. You can't try and make kids be something that they're not.
Absolutely.
And I think that's something that's really important for us to always remind ourselves. You can't always make kids be, and we certainly mustn't live our lives through our children.
You're right. Optimism is something that's also really important. And we haven't really talked about that, but I think that is really important in terms of, you know, you can either be a pessimist or you can think, you know what? it's the sun's going to shine on sports day. Amen. And we're going to have a great time. And then, you know, you've got a new teacher at school this term. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt and presume she's going to be a flipping great teacher.
Brilliant.
Because if you go into that term thinking, oh, she's new, she's probably going to be rubbish, what does that benefit you?
Absolutely. You've gone in there already with a negative mindset. So you're going to get, you're probably going to get a negative outcome because you're looking through it with murky glasses already. So you're talking to me, Marina, whose glass is always spilling full, like my mum's. My mum's ray of sunshine, her glass is always full. Mum, I'm applying for a job. Oh, baby, go on, go for it. Not, are you good enough? Why are you doing that? With some parents, like, well, why would you do that? Go for it, baby. Give it your best shot. And that's what I try and my husband tries to say. Go for it. Nothing wrong. I think optimism in a household is key. Oh, it's raining outside, Mum, we might as well stay in. And it's raining outside, guys. Do you know what? Yeah, it's raining. Let's go and put on a brilliant DVD. And then when the rain stops, if it stops, we'll go out for a walk. And if it doesn't stop, we'll still go out for a walk. Because it's not the end of the world. And there are days which, I mean, I'm sure as parents, there's days where we think, actually, this is pretty tough today. And that optimism doesn't always shine through. So let's not pretend here. But I think it's our role to go for the 80-20 rule. 80% of the time, be really bouncy and positive, because that's what our kids will learn from and foster and think to themselves, actually, 80-20 is not a bad rule to follow.
Yeah. Michelle, this has been so great. I've so enjoyed chatting to you. I wanted to read you one thing I found online, and I think it just summed up what we've just been talking about. All children are capable of extraordinary things. There is no happiness gene. There is no success gene. There is no doer of extraordinary things gene. The potential for happiness and greatness lies in all of them and will mean different things to different kids. We can't change that they will face challenges along the way. What we can do is give them the skills so that these challenges are never able to break them. We can build their resilience.
I love that.
It's great, isn't it?
I love that.
Well, thank you so much for coming along and chatting to us today. You can follow Michelle on Twitter. She's at TallMish, and on Instagram at Michelle Griffith Robinson. There's loads of great YouTube videos you put up. I love all your Instagram and your Twitter feeds.
Thank you, Marina. And thank you, guys. And thank you, listeners. I hope you managed to gain some insightful information from it. But let's keep going and let's build these resilient children that we all want and hope for.
Thank you. And thank you for downloading another episode of The Parenthood. Please don't forget to subscribe, rate and review us. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please spread the word amongst your friends. You can follow us on Instagram at theparent.hood or me at marina.fogel. Please continue sending in topics you'd like us to talk about. But in the meantime, from Michelle and me, thanks for listening and goodbye.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at yoquierodineropodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.